Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled Clarifying the Truth by Cell Phone by Xi Yuan, a practitioner in China.
Minghui Fahui, Clarifying the Truth by Cell Phone by Xi Yuan, a practitioner in China. Greetings, Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I am happy to share my cultivation experience in the last 2 years of using a cell phone to clarify the truth. Please point out anything inappropriate. Sending text messages by cell phone. I started to practice Falun Dafa in 2008. Knowing that I was somewhat late in Fa rectification, I tried my best to catch up by doing the three things well. After learning about truth clarification via cell phone text messaging in late 2008, I found this project to work for me and thus learned the technique from other practitioners. Because the Chinese government blocks sensitive words, there were times when the text messages could not be sent out and the cell phone cards were suspended. We replaced the sensitive words with other words and tried other methods. After learning more about the procedure, I began to edit the messages myself. When teaching me the techniques, practitioners told me that we might receive all kinds of replies to the text messages, from thanks to swearing. Instead of being disturbed, we should treat people with compassion and send forth righteous thoughts when sending out the messages. I remembered this and followed the advice. Nonetheless, for quite a long time, I dared not read the messages. When we discussed this, practitioners asked me to look within to find my attachments, and gradually I was able to handle them calmly. In fact, many of the replies were thanking us, and it was touching to read those. When I began to do this project, fellow practitioners told me about many safety precautions. I was also fearful at that time, and was afraid the cell phone could be used as evidence against me and lead to my being persecuted. So I thought of a good place to put the cell phones. I put them in a small bag and hid them in the rice bag. In teaching the Fa at the 2002 Fa conference in Boston, Master said, quote, "The old forces don't dare to oppose our clarifying the truth or saving sentient beings. What's key is to not let them take advantage of the gaps in your state of mind when you do things." Unquote. Since saving sentient beings is the most righteous thing in the universe, what was I afraid of? Gradually, my mindset changed, and I was not afraid anymore. A cell phone card can usually send about 500 messages. When practitioners have strong righteous thoughts, one card can sometimes miraculously send thousands of messages. I admired them, hoping that I would also experience such a miracle. But my cards could only send 1,000 messages at most, and sometimes only 100 or 200 when the cards were blocked. When looking within, I found I had the attachment of pursuit and showing off. The purpose of sending text messages was to save people, but I was simply attached to sending out more to show off. This was wrong, because my heart was not pure. Later on, I was no longer attached to how many messages I could send, just hoping that anyone who received one could know the truth and be saved. Sending MMS messages with smartphones. In late 2010, I received a multimedia messaging service, MMS, message and found it was very informative due to its graphics and images. Moreover, such messages can easily attract the recipient's attention. I thought that using MMS messages could be a very effective way to clarify the truth. However, my phone was slow and inefficient at sending such messages. Then Master helped me. One day, a practitioner bought one smartphone, saying it could be used to send MMS messages to a list and play recorded voice files. I downloaded the corresponding software and instructions from the internet. After many trials, I am now familiar with group sending of MMS messages that play recorded files, helping more practitioners to get involved. Master has cared for us along the way, and I am very thankful for that. Not long after I learned truth clarification using smartphones, a coordinator asked if I was able to share this technique with more practitioners. Several practitioners, including me, began to work together to support practitioners in our city and nearby regions. Because there are many technical details and it can be difficult to memorize them all at once, I wrote a brief tutorial that practitioners could follow and use. After practitioner B read the tutorial, she said there are too many technical terms in the instructions and that it was hard to understand, especially for elderly practitioners. She suggested that I write a simple one in plain language that was easy to understand. I wasn't happy and said it was already written in plain language. She then pointed out that pull-down menu, panel, in other words, were specialized technical terms that many practitioners did not know. Because I worked with computers a lot at work, I explained that these were common names that everyone used. But practitioner B insisted on her opinion, and a coordinator also agreed with her. Master said in Juan Falun, quote, "If it does not irritate a person psychologically, it does not count or is useless and cannot make him or her improve," unquote. I was upset to get such negative feedback despite my hard work. Plus, her computer skills were too poor to represent local practitioners. Nonetheless, I agreed to make the requested changes. When I worked with practitioner B on the revised tutorial, she was also stressed because of my reluctance. I knew that a barrier had formed between us because my attachment was exposed. I wanted to eliminate the barriers because, after all, we are one body and we need to cooperate with each other well to fulfill our responsibilities. One day when talking with practitioner C, I told her about my situation. She said I had mixed up my attachment with my true thoughts. When the problems came up again, I needed to remind myself that the attachment, being unwilling to be criticized, was not my true self. I did as she suggested and felt relaxed. I sincerely apologized to practitioner B. She said she had also improved a lot during the process. I felt the barrier between us was eliminated and that working with fellow practitioners was such a precious opportunity. When promoting the cell phone techniques, I experienced hardship and sacrifice. But what touched me more was the happiness I felt because I could validate the thought. When seeing that other practitioners could use this thought implement competently to save people, all my sacrifices seemed insignificant. A coordinator once asked me to demonstrate the use of the cell phone in a suburban area. It had rained hard that day, and I left home after lunch with another practitioner. There was still a lot of water on the road, and our shoes got all wet. When we arrived at the location, there were already many practitioners waiting there. Seeing that they had all come despite the heavy rain, I was very touched. Every practitioner had been thinking about how to help save people. As a new practitioner, I learned many things through introducing this cell phone technique to others. Some elderly practitioners had not used smartphones in the past, and they sometimes learned slowly. One elderly practitioner told me she had communicated with the cell phone. "You are very fortunate to help practitioners save people." Some practitioners had strong righteous thoughts, and every phone card was put to maximum use. When I shared with other practitioners, they often told me that Master helped us so much on this. Composing MMS messages to expose the persecution in our local area. When we started the cell phone project, some practitioners suggested using it to expose the persecution in our local area. However, composing MMS messages was not an easy task, and it consumed lots of time with undesirable results, so we stopped composing our own MMS messages. Later, I saw that practitioners could produce truth clarification flyers quickly, and that these flyers were very effective at suppressing the evil. I began to work on editing messages again. After learning the appropriate techniques, I found it was not as difficult as I had expected. After preparing a sample MMS message, I showed it to other practitioners and received some feedback. I made some modifications and had the first MMS message in our local area. Now we are experienced in composing MMS messages. Recently, when hiring an attorney to defend practitioners, we sent out MMS messages as invitations. Later on, we also followed up on the progress in a timely manner. This effectively helped people find out the truth and suppress the evil. I am thankful for what Master has given us, and I will cultivate diligently. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.